Today is January 26th, 2008, and this is the Apple Weekly Report, episode number 113, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, morning editor for TMO.
Holy deja vu, Jeff. I'm Brian Chaffin, editor-in-chief. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/roundup. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at awr@macobserver.com.
You know, there is a bit of a deja vu, and it's actually because apparently I'm not capable of doing simple math. And I thought last week was episode 113. So it was. And now this week really is episode 113.
Right. We recorded saying episode 113. We labeled it properly at 112. But if you heard 113. Anyway, this is 113, and no popping for me this week. We've figured out that part of my problem was some kind of conflict between GarageBand and Skype.
That happens a lot.
Yeah.
And you sound a lot better this week.
Mostly healed. And you seem to be over your laryngitis.
I am. I still have a little bit of a tickle in my throat, but I can talk, much to many people's chagrin, but I can talk again.
Woo! Well, not my chagrin. Woo. I'm glad to have you back full strength, and it's good to be getting the episode 113 recorded.
The real 113.
The real 113.
That's right.
Hey, why don't you talk a little bit about TMO on Twitter?
Oh, yeah. So, all right. For those of you that don't know what Twitter is, it's sort of like a live blogging thing that you can do anywhere as long as you have internet access. And it's amazingly addictive because you get these tiny little insights into all your friends' lives. But it's also really cool because sites like the Mac Observer can have a Twitter account. And with that Twitter account, we can now send out little messages letting everyone know when new articles are available online. So if you're a Twitter user, then go over to the Mac Observer website, and we have a link right there where you can find all of our Twitter feeds and sign up for them. And we're actually trying a new thing with this too, which is we're setting up a Twitter feed for the editors. So when we're on the job and hunting down news, we can actually have a live interaction with all of our readers.
Yay.
Yeah. And it's free to use.
And it's free. Yep. And it's the hottest rage.
It certainly is. And it's very addictive.
And one thing you've always been able to say about us is that we've always been on top of the hottest rages.
Is that what they say about us?
No. Actually, I don't think anyone has ever said that.
No. Well, we can pay someone later on.
Well, anyway, and it, be it as it may, this time we pretty much are on top of the hottest rage. And that's TMO on Twitter, and I guess it's time for the news.
I think it is. Apple reported its best quarter in the company's history. NBC may be warming up to Apple again. MacBook Air reviews are coming in. The 3G iPod Nano now comes in pink. And developers have already jailbroken the iPhone 1.1.3 update.
Apple recorded its first quarter earnings report Tuesday afternoon with $9.6 billion U.S. in revenue, making it the best quarter in the company's history. The Mac iPod and iPhone maker also reported a record net quarterly profit of $1.58 billion or $1.76 per diluted share. Apple CEO Steve Jobs gave an incredibly insightful quote saying, quote, "We're thrilled to report our best quarter ever with the highest revenue and earnings in Apple's history," unquote. The company shipped 2.319 million Macs in the quarter, representing 44% unit growth and 47% year-over-year growth in Mac sales, 22.121 million iPods shipped for a 5% unit growth rate and 17% growth rate compared to the same quarter last year. Apple also sold 2.315 million iPhones during the quarter, beating Wall Street's 2 million unit estimate. Apple managed to show a $2.5 billion revenue increase, or 35% compared to the same quarter last year. Looking forward, Apple is guiding for $6.8 billion in revenue with about 94 cents earnings per share for its second quarter of 2008. While Apple turned in a record quarter, it was the guidance that caught Wall Street's attention and sent shares of Apple crashing through the floor. Starting with after-hours trading on Tuesday, the stock dropped sharply, and Wednesday trading officially shed more than $17 per share. All told, Apple closed the week at $130.01 per share, a loss of more than $30 per share on the week, and more than $70 off its pre-New Year's high.
NBC's anti-Apple sentiment may be fading, which in turn could mean the network's programming might make a comeback at the iTunes store. Apple and NBC parted ways last year when the broadcaster pulled its shows from the media download store over pricing issues, but now it appears the relationship between the two companies has been at least partially repaired. NBC CEO Jeff Zucker commented, quote, "We've said all along that we admire Apple and that we want to be in business with Apple," unquote. Now, of course, on October 30th, 2007, Mr. Zucker also said, quote, "We know that Apple has destroyed the music business in terms of pricing, and if we don't take control, they'll do the same thing on the video side," unquote. But that's just nitpicking. Apple and NBC split in 2007 after failing to negotiate a new distribution contract for the network's programs at the iTunes store. Apple claimed that NBC was demanding a rate hike upwards of $4.99 per episode. Steve Jobs did leave the door open for future negotiations with NBC. He commented at the time of the network's departure, quote, "We hope they'll reconsider their decisions over time and maybe find out that iTunes and iPods are a great way to digitally distribute their content to tens or maybe hundreds of millions of customers around the world," unquote.
Home Box Office, that's HBO to those keeping score at home, is ready to jump into the movie and TV download game with the launch of its HBO on broadband service. HBO rolled out the new service to Time Warner Cable broadband customers in limited markets on Tuesday. The move to the web extends the cable company's on-demand offerings and will even include more content than its HBO on-demand service. HBO's news comes only days after Apple announced its iTunes Store movie rental service and upgraded Apple TV offerings at Macworld Expo 2008. Unlike Apple's rental service, HBO's rental service will not be cross-platform. At least not at first. The company launched with Windows XP and Vista support, but hopes to add macOS 10 support later.
Apple released iPod Nano third generation software 1.1 on Tuesday, and while the release notes for the update were scant, as usual, they did state that the update added support for iTunes Store movie rentals along with some bug fixes. The software update is free and available through the iTunes application. And along with that software update, Apple also expanded the color options for its third generation iPod Nano to now include pink. The pink iPod Nano includes 8 gigabytes of storage, video support, cover flow, Apple earbuds, and a USB dock connector. It's priced at $199, includes free engraving and shipping from the Apple Store, and ships within 24 hours, giving you plenty of time for your Valentine's Day purchases.
The Wall Street Journal's Walt Mossberg went hands-on with Apple's new MacBook Air and found that the ultra-thin notebook computer is beautiful. But there are features missing that may disappoint some frequent travelers. Mr. Mossberg said, quote, "Apple finally has entered the sub-notebook market, introducing a lightweight laptop meant to please road warriors. But typical of Apple, the company took a different approach from its competitors. The result is a beautiful, amazingly thin computer, but one whose unusual trade-offs may turn off some frequent travelers," unquote. He added that while the full-size keyboard and 13.3-inch display were a pleasure to use, and a friendly departure from the smaller keyboards and displays typically found in sub-notebooks, he felt that the bigger display could be too tall when flying coach. He also felt that the single USB port, no built-in optical drive, no Ethernet port or modem card slot, and the lack of a user removable battery might scare off some potential buyers. For travelers that don't need to rely on these features, however, the MacBook Air is a dream come true. He said, quote, "It's impossible to convey in words just how pleasing and surprising this computer feels in the hand."
And while my dude, you totally tripped me up on that one. All right. While Walt Mossberg liked Apple's new notebook computer, John Dvorak wasn't as pleased and thinks the Air will flop, presumably because it isn't a Windows PC, overloaded with antiquated ports, a two-stroke engine, and Intel Inside stickers all over the case. He commented, quote, "While light and cool looking, the machine suffers from lack of connectivity and the ability for expansion. It doesn't have a PC card slot and sports but a single USB connector. The batteries cannot be removed or swapped out, and the machine is just underpowered," underquote. I just said underquote, didn't I?
Yeah.
All right. See, I'm still tripped up. All right, he added that part of Apple's stock decline following Macworld Expo was due to the leaks surrounding the MacBook Air, and with expectations set high for the notebook, he felt the actual product was a disappointment, and he's sure everyone else thought the same.
Mm-hmm. Apple's iPhone software update 1.1.3, which was released during Macworld Expo a week ago, did more than add location finding and enhance the home screen. It also prepped the device for third-party applications. Based on the investigative efforts of Nate True, a true story, it appears that after installing iPhone software update 1.1.3, the Springboard no longer needs to be modified to show extra applications. Applications also run under the mobile user instead of root, and preferences are stored in the mobile directory instead of root directory. Mr. True said, quote, "What does all this mean? I'll tell you what it means. The iPhone 1.1.3 firmware is ready for official installable applications," unquote. "That means we most likely won't need another software update to use third-party applications after Apple releases the iPhone Software Developer Kit in February."
And even though officially sanctioned third-party iPhone and iPod Touch applications are only weeks away, that's still not soon enough for some people. Since the iPhone software update 1.1.3 breaks the hacks that people have been using to add unapproved apps to their iPhones, the creative minds behind the iPhone dev team didn't waste any time coming up with a jailbreak procedure for the new software. Like prior jailbreak methods that let users add extra applications to their iPhone, this one is not authorized by Apple and will likely break with future software update releases. This new jailbreak requires a previously jailbroken iPhone with software version 1.1.2 installed, so a little pre-planning is necessary, and that means iPhones with software version 1.1.3 already installed will have to be downgraded before starting the procedure. Now, if you're interested in jailbreaking your iPhone, be sure to check out the show notes. We'll have links to the instructions and all the necessary files.
And that means it's time for the Context Machine, where Jeff and I delve a little more deeply into the news to provide context for what's going on.
You know, I was thinking we might start out with Apple's earnings report, because that was kind of one of the big news stories of the week.
Yeah, sure. It was a big quarter.
It was. I mean, Apple saying that this is their biggest quarter in history. I mean, that's saying a lot considering the last few quarters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was a big quarter. But, you know, I mean, the real news and the news that Wall Street cared about was the guidance going forward, which was pretty lackluster.
It was. And, you know, I always expect Apple to give conservative guidance because they've done that for the last couple of years. And then especially for their second fiscal quarter because it's the lull quarter. It's after the holiday buying season and it's before the back to school season. Mm-hmm. So, you know, lower guidance makes sense, but boy, this time the analysts and Wall Street were really not happy with Apple's guidance, and it sure shows in the stock.
Well, yeah, the guidance was pretty lackluster, and
it was.
You know, a lot of the price of Apple's stock includes forward-looking profits. And so for right. Apple to show that those profits aren't going to come in this quarter, that's what sent the stock reeling.
Right. And boy, did it reel. I mean, we're down, what, about $70 compared to what it was in late December?
Yeah. And even from, you know, a lot of the, a lot, and I do hold a very tiny share of a stake in Apple. It's infinitesimal and I assure you it does not have any effect whatsoever on how I cover the company or its stock, but got to say that stuff. Anyway, a lot of Apple's buildup going into the end of the quarter was a lot of window dressing, a lot of fund managers wanting to get Apple in the book so that they can show their investors how smart they are to have Apple.
Right.
Okay, this is, you know, just some fundamental stock stuff. Cramer talked a lot about this on his show, and I think that we can show that happened. And so then what happened after the new quarter started is that a lot of those same fund managers started selling some of those stocks to A, book profits, and, you know, B, put that money to work elsewhere, that sort of thing. And then we saw a lot of losses happening almost immediately. And then when the show came around and there weren't any drop-dead announcements from Apple, the stock started shedding even more. So, you know, we're off $50 a share from Macworld and $70 a share from the beginning of the year.
You know, I think this is one place where Apple's method for their incredible secrecy can occasionally backfire, because going into Macworld, the rumors about what Apple was going to release were just they were all over the board and they were wild. And I mean, I was waiting for someone to really believe that Apple was going to release a time machine or warp drive or something at the expo, because I mean it. That's just how hyped up people were. So there was really no way Apple could live up to the hyped up expectations anyhow. So I was expecting that their stock price would drop a little bit after the expo. But the amount of drop that we've had between the apparent disappointment in Apple's announcements along with their lackluster guidance. Wow, that's a big hit.
Yep, it is a big hit. And, you know, it doesn't detract from this fantastic quarter. The company clearly executed very well during the December quarter.
Oh, absolutely. And it's one of those interesting things in life where you can have the stock dropping like it is, even after the company had the best quarter it's ever had. And that's on top of a lot of fantastic quarters.
Yeah, yeah.
The stock market is crazy, man.
Stock market is crazy. Again, you know, it's what happened here is not a mystery. It's the pretty lackluster guidance for the next quarter. I mean, that's really all there is to it.
Yep, there you go.
Yep, no mystery.
So, all right, now I have to admit, I kind of set you up a little bit for the context machine today. Because I did want to talk about the MacBook Air reviews. And when John Dvorak came out with his commentary on the laptop, it was just one of those things where I went, all right, well, we have to include that because I just love feeding you things like that.
Well, you know, I hope I don't disappoint this time because I don't take John Dvorak as seriously as I used to. I mean, he's you know, reading his review, and I'm just not really sure how much of it he meant. I mean, I think it was mostly a fanboy baiting piece.
You know, he's actually known for doing that, and he has admitted that he does bait pieces.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he absolutely has admitted it. He's a master at it. And, you know, I mean, the machine is not underpowered, for instance. It's for a sub notebook, it's actually very well powered.
It is. I mean, I'm very impressed with the horsepower that it has.
Yeah. And, the lack of slots. I mean, you can. The sub notebook market is you know, definitely has a lot of different contenders. But what we said last week was that the MacBook Air really doesn't. It's not lacking a lot compared to many other sub notebooks. It's only lacking a lot when you compare it to the MacBooks or MacBook Pros.
And, you know, I would expect it to be lacking in comparison to those computers because it's aimed at a different market.
Yeah, it's a sub notebook. It's designed to be light. It's designed to be thin and small. I still don't think it's going to be the perfect sub notebook for a lot of people. And I still think that some of these features are going to turn off some potential users. And I think Walt Mossberg's point before he dipped into Barry White mode. was probably an important one. The fact that the screen is going to be small for some people flying in coach, that's kind of a deal. And, you know, and there are some people that are going to find the lack of ports or the lack of Ethernet or the lack of this or the lack of that, you know, there's just going to be some people that it doesn't work for.
You know, I've never seen a single product ever in my whole life that is exactly what everyone wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the fact that this computer isn't going to satisfy everyone in the market, I don't see that as a negative thing. It's just how business works.
Yep. Yeah, but so, I mean, Dvorak's thing, like I say, hey, I hope I'm not disappointing you this week on this one, but I would say don't take it all that seriously. I don't think that the MacBook Air is going to be a flop like Mr. Dvorak is saying, but yeah.
You know, my assumption after reading what he had to say about the MacBook Air was that even though people love to call him an idiot, and geez, I can't imagine where that ever came from. But anyhow, you know, people love to call him an idiot, and I'm looking at what he says about the MacBook Air, and I'm thinking, okay, either he really is an idiot, and he has absolutely no clue what this product or product market is, or he's doing exactly like you said, and he's baiting.
Yeah, he's totally baiting. He knows the sub notebook market better than you and me, and he knows that. Feature-wise, the MacBook Air is not missing a lot compared to a lot of the different offerings in this niche market. And he's just baiting. I wouldn't worry about it.
You know, I'm certainly not going to lose sleep over it. I can't remember the last time I lost sleep over something that John Dvorak said. Oh, that's right, never.
Well, I used to let myself get riled up by him, but... that was a different age, and that's when before I understood what a master at manipulating me, I mean us, he was.
Yeah, one of our readers in comments to our article about Dvorak summed it up in the most beautiful way, because you know we know that Dvorak is a baiter. And he said, of course, that he's a master baiter.
He actually is a master baiter. But speaking of baiting, we can close out this little section once again with... It is impossible to convey in words just how pleasing and surprising this computer feels in the hand.
Okay, Brian, just so you know, when you did that during the news section, I really was picturing Barry White.
I don't do a very good Barry White. I wish I could do a better one. Hey,
you did good enough.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I at least got the point across. How about that old Mr. Zucker?
All right. Knowing that that some of our listeners might be mildly offended, I'll apologize in advance, but I'm going to use my favorite term to describe someone like that. Asshat.
Yes. You know, it's funny. He was on such a campaign. He was on such a campaign to unseat the evil apple. He was on a hardcore campaign. He was telling any and all comers, Apple is going to destroy the video market. Apple has already destroyed the music business in terms of pricing. And, you know, that we've really got to take control back. And now he's saying, we've said all along that we admire Apple and that we want to be in business with Apple. No, you haven't, you lying sack of crap. That's not what you said at all. You were not saying we know that Apple has destroyed the music business, and if we don't take control, they're going to destroy the video side, but we want to be in business with them. There was no clause there.
No, there wasn't. And now here's salt in the wound on that one. Mm-hmm. There was another quote that Zucker said that I didn't include in our script for this week.
Okay.
And that's the one where he said, "We love Steve Jobs."
Yeah. And then, wow.
Yeah. Now, what I read into to his most recent statements, including his now publicly proclaimed infatuation with Steve, what I read between the lines and all that was, wow, we're not making the money we thought we would going anywhere but Apple. And maybe the ratings that we were getting were in some way tied to the iTunes store. And so maybe we should start working on an exit plan from our anti-Apple thing and work on an entry strategy back in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's what happened. I mean, I'm sure that they found that their web-based video offerings are just not being all that popular. I don't have any data on that. I could be wrong. Maybe it's been wildly successful, but if it had been, you know, he would not be saying that they want to work with Apple again.
Right. And, you know, I know firsthand several people that are really pissed off with NBC and NBC's affiliate networks and are not watching programs because NBC pulled everything from the iTunes store. And I have a couple friends that ask me on a very regular basis, and it's not because they have a short attention span or memory loss issues, but they keep asking me, are you sure that Sci-Fi Channel isn't on iTunes anymore? Because I really want Battlestar Galactica.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. And there's some other shows from USA Network that I have friends that enjoy watching it. And, you know, they're not watching the shows now.
Right.
And for some of them, it's because it was much easier to get them from the iTunes store. For others, it's because they're just pissed off and they're making a statement.
Right. Right. Well, be that as it may, clearly the jockeying for position and the negotiating and the public negotiating and all that stuff is showing that NBC is probably going to be coming back to iTunes sooner rather than later. That's my gut feeling on this.
I'm totally with you on that one. Yep. Yeah.
And so, you know, only time will tell. But I don't really think we're going to have that long to wait.
I hope not, because it's really nice when you want to go just grab a show real quick to be able to go and get it legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, there's just kind of a nice karma thing there.
Yep, it is kind of an instant karma sort of thing. Not really. All right, with that, let's move on to the listener comments.
All right, we had one of our listeners send us an anonymous question, and here's what they want to know. I keep hearing rumors that Apple is about to release the iPhone Nano. I can't afford the regular iPhone, so I'm hoping the rumors are right and that the Nano version comes out soon. What do you guys think?
No.
You know, that's it right there. My answer was, don't hold your breath because your lips are going to turn blue.
Yeah, I don't think that if Apple releases and let's go ahead and call it the iPhone Nano because it's a good enough name. Everyone understands.
Everyone knows what we're talking about. Yeah. Right.
So let's keep calling it that. If Apple's going to release a device like that, I think it's going to be a year from now. For you know, maybe for the holidays next year. I think that you know they've got to release another version of the current form factor first, and that they're going to want to milk all those sales, that they're going to want to solidify their worldwide position before they turn around and muddy the waters with another device that's going to, you know, that's going to muddy the waters.
You know, I think you're almost completely spot on, except I think your prediction of when Apple could possibly release the fabled iPhone Nano is actually too early. I think what Apple's going to do is continue with the same form factor, and that eventually, you know, later this year we'll have the 3G version of the iPhone, so we'll have an iPhone with potentially faster wireless networking, mm-hmm. we'll have more memory, you know, maybe a better video camera, whatever. But I think the form factor is going to stay the same, and we'll just see additional software and then some, and then occasional hardware upgrades to the device, and that Apple's going to continue going the plan they are until they've completely saturated the market that will go for this device. And once that's completely saturated, and I think we've got a couple years for that, then they'll go back and start looking at alternative models.
Fair enough.
So don't hold your breath for that iPhone Nano today. And nope. Just save up your pennies if you really need an iPhone, because it's going to cost what it costs right now. And that's what it's going to be for quite a while.
Yeah. And, you know, as I understand it, there are some manufacturing cost issues that mean the iPhone is not likely to come down in price much more. Certainly not before we get a second iteration of the form factor.
Right, right. I expect that when the next version of the iPhone comes out, the one that has 3G and all that, unless Apple wants to do a multi-tier thing where they have the Edge version and the 3G version, mm-hmm. that the price will probably stay the same.
Yeah.
And then it'll just have new features.
Yep. Yep, I agree with that. So there you have it, our anonymous person. I think that you're going to be waiting a long time if you wait for the iPhone Nano, and I think that we're both in agreement on that.
I think we are, absolutely. So thanks for the comment, and if you have anything else to comment on, add a question, send your audio or text comments to awr@macobserver.com, and remember, succinctness is next to steveliness. And that's this week's Apple Weekly Report. Thanks for listening, and thanks for sending us your comments and feedback.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. Thanks, CashFly. The bass is by Boom, and that's recorded for TMO. That's all for this week.
And as always, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer and iPodObserver.com.